The Sword of the Spirit podcast. This is episode number 17, Music Standards. We'll be talking about the importance of hymns, songs, spiritual songs, the folly of CCM, how to know if a song is satanic, and so much more, folks. The show begins right after this. There you see it, censored, because YouTube hates God and hates the Bible. We have to worry about watching what we say, or else our videos will get taken down for hate speech. Welcome, everyone, to the 17th edition of the Sword of the Spirit podcast. This is Benjamin Naim, known as Ben the Baptist, here on YouTube for what should be a very interesting show tonight. We'll be talking about music. For the first time on this podcast, this is going to be a topic that we tackle because it's an important one. A lot of people struggle with this, and when they backslide into worldliness, they find themselves listening to music they shouldn't be listening to, produced by Hollywood pedophile elites who hate the Lord Jesus Christ and making content Christians should have nothing to do with. We'll be talking about the folly of CCM, which is really nothing more than a satanic counterfeit. We'll give you reasons why, and also hymns and songs and psalms and spiritual songs. Why are these so important? How they can enhance your Christian life. We'll be diving into the scriptures tonight to talk about that and so much more. Everything music on the 17th edition of the show. Now, right off the bat, I hear myself. There's some feedback. I believe it's coming from Brother Matt Taylor. So, Brother Matt, if you could mute your mic when you're not speaking, that might help with the feedback a little bit. I will introduce you here in a few seconds. Thanks, Brother Matt. I appreciate that. It's September 18th, 2019, and all of you listening live right now, I just want to thank you for tuning in once again to the show. Without any further ado, let me introduce my guests. First of all, he hasn't been on my YouTube channel for a while, but you know what? He's back, and I'm really excited for this show tonight. Brother Sean Jolly is with us. Brother Sean, thanks for coming on. You know, you're the brainchild of this. You're the one that came up with the idea, and I said, let's do it. Let's do this podcast. Let's not just talk about it. I want to record a show about this topic, so not only do I want to thank you for taking the time to appear on the podcast tonight, but thank you for coming up with this idea, and you know we're running with it because of you. So, Brother John, Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Brother Ben. I would appreciate you having me on the show, and thanks for taking the idea and running with it. It's something that the Lord has definitely laid on my heart, and like we were talking about a little bit before we went live, I think that it's something that definitely requires the attention of a full-length documentary. It's one of those things that you feel that's just so important that there needs to be a milestone set out there for this generation to see and to hear and to understand the importance of godly music and avoiding satanic music.
Absolutely right. I think it's a huge component of being a separated Christian. Let's also talk to Brother Matt Taylor, the music director at Verity Baptist Church. Brother Matt Taylor, for the first time, you're making your debut here on the Sword of the Spirit. Thanks a lot for coming on, Brother Matt.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's definitely a great topic to be talking about. I think it needs more exposure. And just thank you, Brother Sean, for reaching out to me to ask me to be part of the show.
It's great to do this. For those of you in the chat room, please give me feedback on the audio levels. If my microphone is way lower in volume compared to the guests tonight, please let me know and I'll make the adjustment. I don't want you guys to have to struggle through a podcast that's difficult to listen to. So for those of you in the chat, I'd really appreciate it. We've got Dan Quirk in there, Win Feather, Maria YouTube 100, Grammy 7, Faithful Word Baptist 1611, and NIFB Javier Ramos. We've also got Tacy. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but she's saying, hi, husband.
That's my wife.
Is it Tacy? Is that how you say it?
No, her name is Casey, but she switches the letters around for some reason. So.
All right. Well, we're going to go with Tacy Kaler.
There you go.
Tacy Kaler. That's clever. Yep. Tacy Kaler's in there saying hello to her husband, listening live in the chat room. Well, Brother Sean Jolly, I think it would be good if we started off by just laying the foundation down for that which is right. Before we get into the satanic stuff and before we get into where Christians get it wrong when it comes to music, I want to talk about hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. And we'll start with Brother Sean and we'll go to Brother Matt afterward. But, you know, I think this is an area where perhaps some Christians might feel like they have the right to kind of slack off, you know, and when they go to church, just not really put their all into singing and not really listen to hymns throughout the week. And I think that some Christians might underrate the impact that hymns and spiritual songs and psalms can have on your Christian life and on making sure that you're filled with the Spirit throughout the week. But Brother Sean Jolly, I'll just pose this question for you. Talk a little about the importance of the spiritual songs and hymns and things like that. Why should Christians sing with all their might at church? And why should Christians sing throughout the week to maintain that spiritual attitude, be filled with the Spirit? Why is it so important for the Christian to be singing spiritual songs and psalms and making sure that they are including that in their day-to-day walk with the Lord?
Well, Brother Ben, if we're all reading our Bibles, we know that all throughout the New Testament, it's telling us that we need to walk in the Spirit, we need to be filled with the Spirit, and we need to not make any provision for the lust of the flesh. Something that was pointed out to me recently in a class that I took at the church that I'm going to, they pointed out Psalm 68. So if those are with us tonight, if you have your Bible and you want to go to Psalm 68 along with us, I'll go ahead and read for you from verse 4. It says, "Sing unto God, sing praises to his name." Now, that's a commandment, but then it goes on later, further on into that psalm, into verse 25, it says, "The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels." Now, what they pointed out to me in this class is that there are three components generally with music, and Brother Matt, you'll be able to either confirm this or you know, tell me if I'm wrong. But it points out in verse 25, it says that the singers went before, and what was pointed out to me is that the melody oftentimes in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs is going to be made up of the singing. The singing and the lyrics is going to be comprised of doctrine, scripture, things that are getting us to think of the Lord. It's going to praise and extol the Lord, and that's going to take the primary role in that music. The second thing we see in that verse is it says that the players on instruments followed after. Along with that primary melody, you have the harmony, something that harmonizes together with that is the singing, which is the words, the lyrics, the scripture, the doctrine. The harmony with the music or perhaps backup singer is going to harmonize together with that. It's not going to clash with it. And then the final thing, talking about the rhythm, it says that the damsels played with timbrels. Now, the melody, this instructor pointed out, says that the melody speaks to the Spirit. And the reason why it speaks to the Spirit is because it's going to be scripture. It's going to be God's word in some way, shape, or form or fashion. And that's going to speak to the Holy Spirit that we have in us. If it's the case, if we're saved, then we have the Holy Spirit in us. The harmony, because it is, I guess, would be representative of us coming alongside God in our daily walk with him. We're harmonizing with him. We're doing his will according to his word, his way, his rules. So that's what brings harmony in our relationship with the Lord, is when we're harmonizing together with him. We're not trying to clash. We're not trying to do things our own way. That's what speaks to the soul. And then the final accompaniment, the rhythm, where it says that the damsels played with timbrels, we don't ever see drums or a heavy percussion in the Bible taking the lead in music. And in good godly music, we don't have the beat taking over, because that is what speaks to the flesh, the temporal. Now, we know that the rhythm is important because it's good for us to keep time. Given that we are stuck in a temporal realm, we have to have order so that way it makes sense. Anytime that the tempo is out of order in music, we'll just immediately know it because we're temporal beings. We're regulated by time. Our heart beats to a certain beat per minute, just depending on how busy or active we are. But we'll be able to notice when something is out of time. And so we have our timestamps. We have our song leaders that keep time with the song leading. Most of the time in good godly music, the only thing that's going to be keeping time is the song leader. And sometimes there may be a light percussion. In this instance, in the scripture, we see timbrels, but we never see any heavy drums or anything that is going to take over and predominate in the music, because we do not want that to feed our flesh more than we're feeding the spirit and the soul.
You know, at Steadfast Jacksonville, we call that straight bars. Straight bars right there. That's the lingo we have here at our church. Whenever someone makes a really good point, bars. That's all I have to say about that. Brother Matt Taylor, you can jump in now if you'd like. What do you think about this, the importance of spiritual songs and hymns? Do you want to piggyback perhaps on something that Brother Sean Jolly said? The floor is yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Just keying off of what he said about drums, I used to be a drummer. And one of the things is that it really is an instrument of manipulation. And you can basically change the entire mood of a crowd, even if it's a crowd of a few hundred people or thousands of people, just based on what the drummer is doing. So I think that could be part of the reason why that drums are not found in the Bible when it comes to praising God. And we know drums have been around for thousands and thousands of years, but the Bible never mentions it in regards to praising him. And when it lists all the instruments, the drums, you know, talking about, you know, the big heavy drums, whatever, obviously they're cymbals and timbrels and things like that, but no heavy drums like Brother Sean was saying. But when it comes to the importance of music, it's very important. It is spiritual. That's a very important point. The Bible points that out. Ephesians 5, if you look at verse 18, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So we're talking about being filled with the Spirit. And then the next verse, it says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." So you see the emphasis there is on the speaking. It's what we're speaking to ourselves. We're speaking doctrine to ourselves. We're praising to the Lord. And then on the end there, it tags on the melody. So the emphasis is on the speaking and what's being said. And in a church setting, I believe that music is really important to prepare our hearts for receiving the word of God, for receiving the preaching. And just a quick verse on that is 2 Kings 3:15. When Ezekiel is about to give a prophecy, 2 Kings 3:15, he says, "But now bring me a minstrel." A minstrel is a musician. "And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him." And then he proceeded to give the prophecy. So I think that music is really important in the church service. And it's absolutely necessary. And I believe this, and I know Pastor Jimenez would believe this. He's preached this before. You know, if someone is not singing in the church service, there's something wrong with their heart. And because singing is tied to the heart, as we see in Ephesians, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Brother Sean, or Brother Matt, I should say, it seems to me from the outside looking in that Pastor Jimenez really does take his music ministry seriously, as do the other pastors, of course, in the New IFB movement. But if you could, since you're from Verity, maybe give some insight on the music ministry over there at your church. You're obviously involved being the director. What are some of the things that you guys do to make sure that you're on point in that area? I see that you've got instruments. You make it sound really good. Do you practice regularly? Talk a little bit about the music ministry at Verity for the people who don't know.
Yeah, so kind of how it started it kind of has a life of its own. People just kind of like, hey, let's start, you know, hey, I play the violin, let's start playing violin. And we added violins in there and a few instruments. We had the flutes and then the trumpets. Now we have like a baritone saxophone, and we've had the cello every now and then. And it's kind of grown, and everybody involved, they put their own effort in. It's not like I'm out there rounding people up. Hey, you play music or whatever, you play an instrument. They kind of just volunteered for that. And it just kind of, the need arose for someone to basically kind of lead that or help with that. And kind of, that's where I stepped in. I was already a song leader for some time before we started introducing the instruments. But basically we, every Sunday morning, we meet at 9:30, you know, before the service starts, and we practice just the hymns for that morning and just go through it. You know, we start everything off with prayer, and then we end with prayer, you know, because the point is we're there to glorify God. We're not there for ourselves. Is that can be, you know, something that we can fall into in the flesh, you know, when you're playing instruments or singing in the choir or even song leading, you know, you're being seen by people. So we always have to remind ourselves, why are we doing this? And it's, I think that's an important attitude to keep. But yeah, we practice, just on Sunday mornings, basically. And a lot of the people, they have all their music so they can practice at home also. So they all put in a great deal of work and effort into it individually. So I think that really helps and counts towards making it sound good. It takes a lot of work. So yeah, we've got the orchestra plays Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night is just piano. And then for special events, we have our adult choir and also a children's choir. And I think we sang at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. But our next performance is going to be Easter. So yeah, so that's basically the gist of it. And it's still growing. We've got things on the horizon that we're working on, and going to be putting some stuff on YouTube soon. So
that's awesome. Speaking of the Red Hot Preaching Conference, Pastor Shelley, he preached a sermon at that conference called Go to Church with All Thy Might. And I thought one of my favorite parts about the sermon was just this whole concept of, look, if you're going to go to church, put an effort in. Don't be lazy. Don't be nonchalant about it. And I do agree that there's a heart problem if you find yourself not ever singing at all in church. And so when you go, you have to recognize, listen, you're going there so that you can hear the Bible be preached by the man of God. That way you can lift up and exalt Jesus Christ better in your own walk with the Lord. But also, you're singing the hymns not so that you could make yourself appear to be spiritual. It's not for the praises of men. You're doing it in an effort to praise God. That's what it's all about, praising God. And one of the ways in which we can praise God and offer up that quote-unquote spiritual sacrifice is through singing, singing the hymns, singing the psalms. The Bible says in Psalm 150, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with stringed instruments and organs, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. That's a good psalm there put to music. But anyway, so the Bible talks about that, and elsewhere we see in Psalm chapter 30, it says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 33, verse 2 says, praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Psalm 104:33 says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. Now, that's something we should apply to our lives and say, let's sing unto the Lord as long as we live and never backslide into the worldliness and into the garbage being produced by the satanic pedophiles in Hollywood. We ought to say, I would much rather sing unto the Lord and praise God by singing unto the Lord. One of the best ways in which you could do that. Sean Jolly, you brought up before we went on the air some excellent points about this involving David and Saul. You can have the floor now to just add anything you'd like to this particular portion of the discussion.
Well, you guys are doing an awesome job. You had me thinking something totally different. But talking about what we were talking about earlier before we went live, we know that King Saul got backslidden, and he was definitely in the flesh because he was putting his own needs, his own desires before the desires and the will of the Lord. He was commanded to wipe out everything that had the breath of life in Canaan land, and he didn't do that. He let the king stay alive. He brought back sacrifices. He turned around and wanted to blame the people on it. And because he did not have complete obedience unto the Lord, it was disobedience unto the Lord. And ultimately, the Lord removed his hand from him, removed his blessing from him, removed his spirit from him. And we know he didn't lose his salvation, but he was definitely backslidden and walking in the flesh. But when David stepped up and came to him and played skillfully music and basically it soothed his soul and it brought a right spirit about him. And the evil spirit, the Bible says, departed from him at that time. One thing that I was thinking that what you all were talking about kind of helped me to remember was that I know how in the New Testament it talks about how we really don't have an altar whereupon to sacrifice because Christ made that ultimate sacrifice, but I did see this the other day in the book of Hebrews.
Spiritual book of Hebrews,
right? Hebrews 13. A lot of things that were physical in the Old Testament are now spiritual in the New Testament.
That's right.
It says in Hebrews 13:10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle for the bodies of those beasts, which blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin and burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, for we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And what better way to do that than by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs daily in our heart, making melody unto the Lord.
Amen. Absolutely right. And that's part of what I was trying to articulate there, that in order to praise God, there's several ways you could do that. Obviously, if you love the Lord, you keep his commandments. But you know what? How about you sing to him? How about you sing unto the Lord? How about you sing the hymns? How about you sing? There are some awesome psalms. And I want to ask you this next, some of your favorite psalms that have been put to music before we move on here. But just to piggyback off that, Sean, it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they offered up physical sacrifices. In the New Testament, we can offer up spiritual sacrifices. And one of the ways we do that is through the fruit of our lips, giving praise to God. In the Old Testament, it was a physical nation. In the New Testament, it's a spiritual nation. In the Old Testament, it was a physical priesthood. In the New Testament, it was spiritual, etc. You see that contrast when you study the difference between the Old and New Covenant. But when it comes to the Psalms themselves, I love some of these Psalms that have been put to music. Psalm 117 is my favorite. That one is phenomenal. It's short, obviously, but it is phenomenal. How could you not love Psalm 139, though? Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. That one is great. I'm going to put you guys on the spot. We'll start with Matt, and then we'll go to Sean right after. Sean, just jump right in after Matt's done. Matt, do you have a favorite psalm that's been put to music you've heard thus far?
Yeah, my favorite psalm is Psalm 19. And when you're looking at Psalm 19, verse 7, so, you know, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's one of my favorite psalms put
to
music
right
it? There. Well, I got to turn there. But yeah, let me turn there. I'll sing it to you if you want.
I'm cool with you singing it. No, I would love if you sung it.
So, all right.
We can't do a music podcast without someone singing, right?
Yeah, Pastor Menez does what's called the Chorus of the Week. So he'll have a special song that's not in the hymn book. And he'll do that every week. So this is actually one that he sings. And it goes, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise a simple. And it goes down to verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And then there's more verses to that. I'll stop right there.
No, that was a good sample. I really appreciate you doing that, Brother Matt. That was actually pretty good, especially just over a live stream and off the cuff. I enjoyed that. So we might have to add a musical element to this podcast and have you sing every week here on the show. And
I'm down with that.
Add something there. No, I do appreciate you doing that, Brother Matt. Thank you. Sean Jolly, your favorite psalm that's been put to music?
Well, that's tough, brother, because I'd say the favorite psalm that I have recently.
You can pick multiple if you can't pick one, by the way.
Yeah, the one that I've just came across recently the other day was awesome, but it has not yet been set to music. But I can go to a psalm that I had seen put to music. It was basically the first two verses of Psalm 122 that they sing at our church. And it's Psalm 122, starting in verse 1, it goes something like this. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem, our feet shall stand within thy gates. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem, our feet shall stand within thy gates.
All right.
So it's something that always uplifts me if I come in and I'm feeling kind of down. And, you know, when we get around to shaking hands and we just all start singing that, it just puts the right spirit in you and you're just ready for church.
Absolutely. And these songs really have that ability to just get you fired up and ready for church. I recorded a video while I was driving to church one Sunday, just talking about the importance of getting filled with the Spirit on your way to church, getting excited, getting pumped up, getting zealous about the things of God before you get to church. And a great way to do that is to listen to some hymns, listen to some psalms. Psalm 117 is powerful. Psalm 11, powerful. And the best thing about it is, in the process of learning these songs, you're learning good doctrine, and in the case of the Psalms, you're memorizing the Bible. How cool
Amen.
Is that?
That's right.
Doesn't get any better than that. Well, as fun as it is to talk about this, we do have to take a turn here, a sharp turn in the podcast. And now that we've laid the foundation down and discussed why we love good spiritual music so much. And by the way, I really liked Brother Matt. I don't know if you recall what I'm about to talk about here, but Verity Baptist Church sung a song called Turn the Tide. Does that ring a bell to you, Matt?
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah.
That is a great one. Do you like that one, Sean? I think that one's a good song.
That song brings tears to my eyes whenever I hear it, brother. And when Verity sung that, I was totally unprepared. I was knocked off of my feet, and I was just in tears.
Yeah. Maybe towards the end of the podcast, I'll play it. We'll see if we have time. But regardless of that, there is a satanic counterfeit out there, because that's what the devil does, is he counterfeits that which is righteous. I mean, take a look at the New World Order itself, and the Antichrist, when he rises to the top of that globalist power structure, he wants to rule the world one day. Well, we know Jesus Christ is going to rule the world one day and judge it with a rod of iron. The devil wants to be like the Most High. And so he counterfeits God, and he counterfeits that which is pure and righteous any way that he can. And one of the ways he does so is through music. And the satanic counterfeit of Christian, quote-unquote, contemporary music. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. That kind of garbage, that effeminate-sounding trash. Talk about the folly of CCM. We'll start with Matt. People might get duped, just like they're duped into thinking Kanye West is a born-again Christian. Some people might get duped into thinking that by listening to CCM, they're actually obeying the commandment of God and that they're spiritual. It kind of reminds me of Saul arguing that he obeyed the commandment of God, which was to utterly slay Amalek. He left Agag alive, but then he makes the argument, oh, I followed your commandment, God. No, you didn't, because if you did follow the commandment of God, you would have slain everyone in Amalek, including the wicked king Agag. So Christians, when they're in a backslidden state, tend to justify their mistakes. Talk a little about the folly of CCM.
Right, yeah. And I always refer to Ephesians 5:19 when it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And we just have to ask ourselves these questions, because we obviously know that music is not amoral, which means that it's not just separate from right and wrong. There is a right music and there is a wrong music. And we know that. You know, just by reading the Bible, there's a lot of scriptures that we can go to. But we have to ask, you know, what is the music promoting? And what is it teaching us? Because music is an influencer, and it has control over people. It influences them. So when it comes to CCM, there's a couple of things. You know, let's think about some of the things that they're teaching. Are they teaching any clear doctrine? Are they teaching eternal security?
No.
You know, are they talking about, you know, the doctrines that we uphold as Christians?
No.
That, you know, like easy believism, right? Once saved, always saved. Are they actually bringing these out to light? And the answer is no. They're very vague. They're emotionally led. And I really think it's a part of Satan's agenda to bring the world into the one world religion. And music is a big part of that. It's a tool that Satan used. And that's how he's getting into these people's heads and these people's minds and leading them in that direction towards that one world religion, because all these songs are so ecumenical and so vague, anybody can sing them. So I think that for CCM, I think that's a really big point there. And not only that, but the music itself is patterned after the world's music. And that in and of itself is a good reason to stay away from it.
What do you think, Sean?
Oh, amen. Absolutely. I mean, I've got a lot of things that I want to just see if I can blast through here real quick to just add on to what Brother Matt said, but he's definitely going in the exact same direction that I was thinking. When we think about satanic music,
it's worse than people think, Sean.
It is. See, the thing is this, is that the serpent was the most subtle of the beasts of the field. And when someone or something is satanic, it's subtle. I remember hearing one of the pastors a while back preach something on something that's satanic versus something that's demonic. Something that's demonic is going to come at you with fangs and blood and so forth, horns, and it's going to be very clearly evil and wicked. Something that is satanic is much more subtle. He's going to come to you in a suit and tie and a King James Bible, and he's going to look like a Baptist, talk like a Baptist, sound like a Baptist, act like a Baptist, but there's going to be something that's just a little off. So when people want to come with music, I mean, there's some music like CCM is just clearly off the end, off the deep end. But people who are kind of stuck and wrapped up in that, they're deceived by seeing, okay, well, they're talking about Jesus. They're, you know, talking about God, how God's great, God's good, so on and so forth. But the deceptiveness comes in on the subconscious level. Now, Satan, even just looking at me being a word nerd, I like to look at etymologies of things. It says that the Hebrew Satan is basically is a word for adversary, one who plots against another. And we see that in Scripture, 1 Peter 5:8, saying, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Revelation 12:9. All right, are you still there, Brother Ben?
I'm here, yeah. Brother okay. Matt, unfortunately, got kicked off because of poor internet, but he's going to try and rejoin, so you can keep going.
I'll keep going. Revelation 12:9, it talks about how the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, Satan, called the devil, or called The Devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So we see that the Bible talks about Satan being adversarial to God, to God's word, to God's plan, to God's will, and he is so, he does so in a very deceptive manner. Revelation 27:8, where it says that when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations. Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are. So satanic music is adversarial, oppositional to God, his plan, and it is characterized by pride, self-exaltation, an emphasis on worldly or fleshly desires. It's designed to get you into the flesh. Now, it's definitely of the world, and the Bible commands us to love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And you touched on it earlier, Brother Matt touched on it earlier, that when you get up in front of the congregation and your job is to praise and extol God by singing godly music, by playing the instruments in a way that glorify God, it's very easy, very tempting to get puffed up in your own fleshly mind and say, well, you know, I'm pretty good at this and I'm doing a great job serving the Lord. But we have to understand and realize it has nothing to do with us. He's the one who allows us to do it. He's the one that permits us to do it. And everything is all about him. You know, I must decrease, he must increase, I must decrease, basically, is our mindset, what it needs to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what John the Baptist said. Obviously, you know, a man that we could take heed to his doctrine. But when it comes to worldliness, and when it comes to Christian contemporary music, what I immediately think of is that people are just going to want the real thing. And so when you try and pattern, quote, spiritual music after rock bands or after metal or rap or whatever the case may be, that's just going to cause people to want to go and listen to that actual worldly garbage, which CCM is worldly in and of itself, but they're basically ripping off a lot of these Hollywood-produced, you know, music, media, entertainment. And it's the problem I have with, for example, Jeff Bourbon and his comedy show, trying to pattern himself after these left-wing comedic shows that come on, like Stephen Colbert and John Oliver, etc. People are just going to want to go watch the real thing. And the Bible does tell us, in first, and for example, 2 Corinthians 6, it says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Obviously, quoting God there. But, you know, when it comes to this idea of being separate, when it comes to not touching the unclean thing, this CCM music, that is unclean in my estimation. And you're right. It's designed to deceive people into thinking they're spiritual. And it's also designed to deceive people into believing in a bunch of false doctrine and this idea that God is just all love, not hate, that he's a softy, sissy, effeminate. What they're promoting in Christian contemporary music, make no mistake about it, it's not the God of the Bible. It's not the God you read about from Genesis to Revelation. It's a different God. It's a God that people will worship when the Antichrist sets up his one world religion on this earth, courtesy of the devil. Obviously, you know, the devil inhabits him. But my point is that you can't learn doctrine through Christian contemporary music. You can't learn about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. In fact, what you'll find yourself doing is committing idolatry and worshiping and praising a different God that is the antithesis of the God found in Scripture. And I think that's the biggest issue when it comes to CCM, is that it leads people to further go down a rabbit trail and really just fall off a cliff, you know, when it comes to who they're worshiping and who they're praising, the total opposite of the God of the Bible, as if there isn't enough confusion already when it comes to who God really is, emanating from false prophets that's being believed by the masses.
Yes, sir. And the thing is that people need to understand that it is a spiritual issue. We're commanded to worship God in spirit and in truth, First Corinthians 6, we're told that our body is the temple of God, and it says that we're bought with a price and that we need to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. Now, the thing is that if we go to Galatians 5, we'll see lists of two different groups of behaviors that are manifest. We see the works of the flesh, and we see the works of the spirit. Now, if we hold true to what we saw earlier on in the podcast, where we see that the melody or the words of God in the music itself being sung by the singers is singing to the spirit, and then the accompanying music kind of helps that out, harmonizes together with it, and that sings to the soul. If those are dominant in the music, then the spirit and the soul are going to be filled, they're going to be fed, and they're going to be strengthened, whereas CCM will place a very heavy emphasis on the drums, on the rhythm, on the beat. And everyone who's been in a Wawa or a 7-Eleven or wherever you go, retail operations, they will be playing some kind of music that will have some very heavy beat-laden music, and you will find yourself subconsciously nodding your head, tapping your foot, moving your body in one way, shape, form, or fashion, because it gets in whether you want it or not. Oftentimes, I find myself just putting in earbuds and walking into a store playing music so that way I don't have to hear that nonsense. But if we're feeding the flesh, then we're going to end up exhibiting the works of the flesh, and
that's
you can
right.
slip and fall down into that so very easily. And the deception is because Satan is the one who is in charge of all that. He's the prince of the power of the air. Ezekiel 28 tells us that he was the anointed cherub that had musical instruments prepared in him the day that he was created. So as Lucifer, he was a musician. He was a musical being. And because he has such a mastery and control over that, and because he is a liar and a great deceiver, he's very powerful with that deception, and he can work his way in if we are not closely guarded.
That is a great point. I hate to have to do this, but I'm just going to play a quick sample. You guys aren't going to be able to hear it, but just for the audience, I'm going to play a quick sample of what we're talking about here, probably maybe 15 seconds or so, just to give you an idea if you've never heard of this, okay? Why is this so severe? Why is this a problem? Why are we making such a big deal out of it? All right, here we go. Okay, I'm gonna play it here.
Where you go,
good night.
I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay.
Sean and Matt.
When you move, I'll move.
You guys are so lucky that you're not hearing this right now. This is horrific.
I'm very glad I'm not
this
hearing
this so
right
bad.
Now.
This literally sounds like the Backstreet Boys right now. This is the trash that these backslidden Christians are listening to. Some guy who sounds like a faggot. Chris Tomlin, I Will Follow. That's enough of that. Literally sounds like he injects himself with estrogen. I am not exaggerating. That's what it sounds like. Matt Taylor, talk about just how faggoty this CCM sounds.
Yeah, that's one of the things that even before I got into the IFB, before I, you know, got saved, got into a good church, I was upset or bothered by the fact how effeminate the songs were. And I don't want to go to church and just sing about my feelings and how, you know, God makes me feel good, how awesome God is. No, I want to sing about good doctrine that means something, that's manly, and I can be like, yeah, that's awesome, not just this effeminate, queer-sounding. You know, like Chris Tomlin, guys can't even sing that high, so I don't even – I don't understand, you know, why he's so popular anyways.
Oh, man. It's horrific. I mean, is this – there's got to be an agenda behind this. Are they trying to just feminize Christianity here?
Absolutely.
Yes. And that was going to be something that I was going to bring up a little bit later. Go ahead, brother. I'll just keep it in the back of my mind.
No, I mean, let's get into it, because there is a wicked, blasphemous, false doctrine out there about the feminine side of God. I'm seeing this from the Episcopalians. They're starting to talk about it. There have been some blog posts shared amongst super liberal fake Christians talking about how God can also be referred to using female pronouns. And people are buying into this. Some people are. And I think this music is only fueling that. The guy just sounds like a complete sodomite, just a flaming fag. It's incredible. And I think you're right. There's an agenda to feminize Christianity and to make it appear as if only queer little sissies are Christian and that Christian media is for effeminates. And it makes me want to throw up.
Well, Brother Ben, what I'm going to go ahead and lay out some definitions here. And Brother Matt, as soon as I'm done, I'd like for you to talk with me, talk with us a little bit from your expertise and musical background with your experience of this. Now, we didn't hear that sample, praise the Lord, that you had just played, but I'm willing to bet that what I'm about to name is going to be found in this music. So I went to dictionary.com and some other resources online, and I pulled these definitions. First definition is syncopation. Syncopation in music is a shifting of the normal accent usually by stressing the normally unaccented beats. Something as a rhythm or a passage of music that is syncopated, also known as counterpoint rhythm. So when you go to the definition of syncopate in the terms of music, it means to place the accents on beats that are normally unaccented to treat a passage, piece, etc. in this way. Now, the term backbeat is a strong accent on one of the normally unaccented beats of the bar, used especially in jazz and in popular music. And then it says, in music, syncopation involves a variety of rhythms which are in some way unexpected, making part or all of a tune or piece of music offbeat. In the form of a backbeat, syncopation is used in virtually all contemporary popular music. Now, the thing that I thought of that came to my mind when I learned what exactly is syncopated music, what that term means, because I've heard that people saying, yeah, well, syncopated music is dangerous, it does this, it does that. I tried to understand the reason why. I found out that when music affects your heartbeat, simply the fact that it does affect your heartbeat, but the music that you listen to, the beat that you listen to, ends up changing your heartbeat. It changes your heart rhythm. A lot of times if you're listening to very fast-paced music, something in the realm of 125 to 150 beats per minute or above, your heart rate will be elevated. And so a lot of times people that work out very hard will listen to heavy metal, speed metal, hard rock, because it kind of amps them up physically in the flesh. It's what's going to get them what they supposedly need for that hard, heavy workout, because they need to be filled in the flesh. But the thing is that over time, that's going to take a toll on your heart. Now, syncopation, what that does, like it says, it places the accents on beats that are normally unaccented. It puts a strong accent on one of the normally unaccented beats of the bar, used in jazz, popular music, contemporary music. So we think about it like this. Usually our hymns and songs and spiritual songs are going to be in a 4-4 time. That's going to basically mimic or come alongside the normal human heartbeat at, you know, maybe 80 beats per minute or something along those lines, depending on the tempo that the song leader is having the people playing the music at, that we're singing at. Well, if we think about the human heartbeat, you have emphasis on the contraction, which is going to be on beats 1 and 3. You think of the thump, 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 thump. Well, if you think about popular music, contemporary music, rock music with a 4-4 time that's using a backbeat, they're going to flip that on its head and have the accent be on the 2 and the 4. So you're hearing the 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. So ultimately, if it's the case that the music is affecting your heartbeat, your heart rate, it's going to then emphasize what needs to be de-emphasized. When your heart is contracting and sending blood, the life being in the blood to your body, it's going to weaken that. And when your body, your heart needs to rest to have that backflow, if the emphasis is there, then the emphasis is strengthening what needs to be de-emphasized or weakened. So when you're having that backflow, that's what's strengthened, and your heart is not squeezing and pushing life or blood into your body the way it should be on the 1 and the 3 beat. Not to mention, we think about the overall agenda, what you were mentioning earlier. This kind of music strengthens that which should be weak and it weakens what should be strengthened. We think about the male and the female roles, gender identities being reversed. So that's prevalent in the music, in the underlying beat, which feeds the flesh, which ultimately affects the spirit and the mind. So that's the effects of syncopated, backbeated music that's found in rock or contemporary music.
All I know is that guy sounds like a faggot. Go ahead there, Matt Taylor.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Brother Ben. I've looked into that a little bit myself, not necessarily syncopation, but as far as how music affects the human body. And we see that in scripture. We look at the story of Saul and how David was able to calm him down with the music. But it works in the reverse also, like you were saying. Growing up, I was in sports a lot, and a lot of the guys, you know, they would put in their headphones before the game, get amped up, listen to their, you know, favorite upbeat music just to get them amped up. Same thing with working out and that type of stuff there too. Music is used in the medical field for purposes of healing and various things like that. I mean, I haven't looked really deep into it, just kind of on the surface level. But it's a motivator. It's can change your mood. You know, we set music to whatever mood we want to be in, basically. You know, that's what a lot of people use that as a kind of like a drug in a sense. They use it to fight their depression or get, you know, lost in another world, basically. And I totally agree, you know, that the music itself, the beat itself, however it's structured, however it's played, can definitely have an effect on a person. And I think it's the point of that, I think, is to make them susceptible to what's being taught in the music. So the words, people don't really think about what's being sung. They don't think about the words, and they're being exposed to things that they would not normally be exposed to. Whether it is, you know, gang related stuff, or whether it's, you know, sodomy or whatever, fornication, drunkenness, things that you would not, in an everyday to day basis, you would not be exposed to, you will be exposed to in music. And people will listen to music, oh, because I like the beat. Well, did you hear what was just said in those lyrics? And I said, no, not really. Well, listen to it, you know, open your eyes, you know. So that's kind of what, that's my understanding, that the purpose of the beat, the purpose of the instruments being used, is the purpose of it is to teach and influence people to go in a certain direction. And we know that the things of the world, the lusts of the flesh, lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life, all of that is in the music, and that's the way of the world. So those are the things that are going to be promoted in that music. And all the instruments and the beats, it's all geared towards swinging people in the direction, you know, in a moral decline, basically. As I know we've talked about that earlier, towards the one world government, more and more sin in the world, etc.
Amen. And so when we think about that, Brother Matt, talking about like subliminal stimuli, I think that was something that I definitely wanted to touch on before we close out. If we'd ever heard Pastor Anderson's sermon, The Sorcery of Television, and we'd listened to him explain his research basically on frames per minute, where the flicker rate of the television would basically bombard your brain with images and lull you into a subliminal state, that's the same thing that the steady, constant beat in the music will do, will kind of take your brain and remove your consciousness from your personality portion of your brain, your prefrontal cortex, and it'll send you into a subconscious subliminal state, a sleep state, where whatever else is coming in at that time is just going to be readily accepted because your consciousness checks out, your subconscious is placed in the forefront, and then they're giving you whatever kind of message they want to give you, and you're just already nodding your head saying yes, and it's just coming in whether you know it or not. A little bit of reading that I did on the subliminal stimuli, it says that there's a supraliminal stimuli which is above the threshold of perception. And then there's the subliminal stimuli, which is below the threshold for conscious perception. And that's where Satan operates, is like where you do not know it. That is his subtlety. Talks about how regions of the brain are activated despite participants being unaware. And that's the emphasis. We want to make such a very huge emphasis on, as Christians, we need to guard what it is that we're seeing and what we're hearing, because as we saw the apostles say, that they cannot but help speak, but speak the things which they've seen and heard. So if we're seeing and hearing filth and garbage, then that's the same thing that's going to come out of our mouths, whether we want it to or not. It is just a fact of life.
Right. And if you don't mind me saying, I don't know if this was brought up, but one of the things about music is it burns into your brain. And like the song.
Yes.
You know, obviously we all listen. I mean, unlike Pastor Jimenez, you know, he didn't, he grew up IFB, you know, so I'm very grateful for that. And I'm a little bit envious of that. But for me, you know, I have songs that are still stuck in my head.
Yes.
And if I walk into like Home Depot,
yep,
or Walmart, and I'll hear that song, like it just, my brain just flips and I'm like,
yes,
I can sing this song. And and the thing is that music gets us to memorize whatever's being sung.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important that we're not, especially with CCM, we're not singing these effeminate songs that don't mean anything.
Right.
We're actually singing songs that have clear biblical sound doctrine that are actually going to help us to remember the Bible and remember the great truths that are taught in Scripture. So I think the memory side of music, and just as a point here, my grandmother has severe dementia. Mm. And I went back east to visit her and my family. I sat down on the piano and started playing hymns. Now, she doesn't remember like people's names. She has no idea where she is. But when I sit down and play hymns and start singing them, she sings them.
Amen.
So there's something about, and my wife as well had that experience with, I think it was her grandmother as well, or great grandmother. And she was in the same position, but she never forgot the hymns ever. I just think that's a testimony of the power of music right there and why we need to be singing those hymns all the time and singing them to our children and getting our children to learn those songs also.
Absolutely. And that's what God told Moses. I think it's in Deuteronomy chapter 31, thereabouts in that neighborhood. It says, you're going to sing this song. Your children are going to sing this song so you can remember the power of the Lord thy God, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. But he even told them ahead of time, he says, look, you guys are supposed to sing this, but you guys are going to forget this, and you guys are going to turn away into wickedness and idolatry and so on and so forth. And just a brief testimony of the detriment of being backslidden by getting caught up in music. For me personally, I can think of a very specific time. There was a while earlier on in the year, I think it was, when Brother Bruce Mejia, now Pastor Mejia, led a soul-winning initiative in Compton, and they called it Straight Into Compton. Well, I grew up in the 90s in middle school and high school, thereabouts, and Straight Out of Compton was a smash hit single during that time, and I was never really big into it at the time. I did hear it. I did recognize it, and being not knowing any better, being naive at that moment, I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and sit down and write lyrics to that music that are going to be about soul winning, that are going to be about going into the neighborhoods and preaching the gospel and things like that. And so what I did was I ended up listening to the actual song Straight Out of Compton over and over and over and over again, trying to mimic the lyrics, but changing it to make it about soul winning. And I ended up getting sucked in, brother, for, I don't know, like a good 6 months. I couldn't get the song out of my head. I couldn't get the beat out of my head. I couldn't get the music out of my head. My attitude was wrong. My spirit was wrong. And I was very much walking in the flesh. And it took me the better part of a year to get out of that funk, to get out of that spot. So to people who don't think that it's real, that are listening right now, believe it. It's real. It can mess with your mind. It can mess with your spirit, mess with your soul. And then out come the manifest works of the flesh, whether or not you go off the deep end or whether or not you're able to actually be pulled back. The only way that you can do so is by the only way that you can fill a cup with water that, or the only way you can get the air out of a glass is by filling it with water. The only way you can get the filth out of your soul is by filling it with the Holy Spirit. And that's just going to be psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And you need to have that stuff burned in your memory. There's a lot of things that I've seen that I can't unsee. There's a lot of things that I've heard that I can't unhear, which for folks like you and me, Brother Matt, Brother Ben, I don't know, but anybody who has a worldly background who got saved later on in life, it's that much more important that you guard yourself and you protect your eyes and ears from what you see and what you hear, because the slightest image, the slightest sound could just in a moment trigger you and take you right back to 10, 15 years ago when you were in sin and you were in the flesh and you were not saved and you were committing all kinds of manner of the works of the flesh. And it can be incredibly detrimental to anyone in their Christian walk.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was definitely powerful. I appreciate you sharing that there, Sean. You know, both of you have a level of expertise you could bring to the table for a discussion like this. Frankly, I don't have it. I don't know about music that much. I like to listen to the hymns and the songs and the spiritual songs and things like that and psalms, but I don't necessarily have that level, that knowledge that you have about the intricacies of exactly how music can affect the individual. All I know is this, that I feel like going to church and going soul winning and reading my Bible and praying when I'm listening to spiritual music.
Amen.
And praying or praising the Lord, singing unto the Lord. But if I were to go and listen to Metallica, or if I were to go and listen to some of the celebrities of this world, you know, Katy Perry or whatever the big stars, whoever the big stars are today, then I would feel like backsliding. I would be tempted to backslide because one feeds the flesh, the other feeds the spirit. One is of God, one is of the devil. And so when it comes to the spiritual aspect of it, I think that sort of encapsulates it. But there's another angle to this as well, which is how it's affecting people's behavior in terms of the private prison system. We've got mega conglomerates producing rap music, which glorifies drugs, alcohol, fornication, violence, and wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's brainwashing youths into believing those things are cool. So they go out and they commit those crimes. They get arrested. They get thrown into the private prison system, which is directly benefiting from that media. And I believe there's an incestuous relationship between the two, where one scratches the back of the other. And it leads into a vicious cycle of youths who listen to media that brainwashes them into behaving in such a way where they then get incarcerated and the elites laugh all the way to the bank. It's sad. But ultimately, this isn't just about trying to appear as if we're separated or spiritual. It's not about that at all. It's about praising God, and it's also about preventing people from acting in a way that could get them locked up because of this wicked, satanic, devilish music coming from these mega conglomerates. Sean, you look like you're flipping through some pages. Did you want to add anything to that?
Well, it made me think of Babylon, End Times Babylon, and it was talking about, you know, all the things that they were dealing in, but it basically was talking about the sorcery that it was using to deceive the nations wherewith. And it talks about in the book of Revelation how we touched on it earlier, the devil that deceived them, the devil went out to deceive the nations. And then it talks about End Times Babylon, and it talks about the sorcery. Pastor Anderson had touched on this many times. Sorcery is really nothing more than just controlling of the mind. And so if it's a case, if Satan is deceptive, Satan can control your mind through deceptive music that gets in your subconscious when you're not aware of it and you're not protecting that back door. That is really a huge means through mass media, him being the prince of the power of the air. Think about sound waves, even just the beat of the music that's reaching you from the speaker to your ear. He's controlling that air. You think about the radio waves wherewith the signal is being sent all around the world for people to listen to or people to watch on their television or their television set. That is very powerful. That is a very powerful source of mind control. I know years ago, Alex Jones did a documentary on mind control and how TV and music affects the brain, but it's real and it's tangible. It's something that can be documented. It's something that can be, it can be quantified in data. You can actually see results. I mean, there are studies, there are numerous studies out there using MRIs and all other kinds of scientific equipment for them to actually be able to quantify this and to put it on paper and say, this is how music and television affects your mind. And we know that whatever affects our mind ultimately will get down into our heart. It affects our spirit. It affects our soul. And it ends up manifesting itself physically. And so for those that are not saved, it's definitely a gateway for them to be opened up to any form of possession for unclean or wayward spirits.
And there are bands out there that are openly satanic. It's not subliminal. It's not something they try and hide. It's open satanic imagery. It's open satanic worship. It's open satanic messaging that people are gobbling up a lot of this goth music, the industrial genre. I mean, folks, it gets dark. It gets really evil. And people can go down a very, very dark path because of the influences they're getting from this. The Bible says in Revelation 18:22, talking about the destruction of Babylon, and the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman or of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. There are going to be musicians in Babylon, and their sound will be heard no more after its destruction. It also says in verse 3 of that chapter, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. All the nations of the earth have committed fornication with Babylon, according to Revelation chapter 18, verse 3. What's the application we could take from that? Well, I personally believe that Mystery Babylon is the United States of America. And all the nations of the world today have committed fornication already here in 2019 with the United States of America, in the sense that America is exporting the filth. It's exporting the movies. It's exporting the music. And no matter where you go on this planet, I lived in Lebanon. Guess what people listen to on the radio? Music from America. It doesn't matter where you go. You can't escape it, unless it's maybe North Korea or something like that. But you can't escape the filth being produced by the reprobates at the top of the power structure here in Babylon. Matt Taylor, do you have something you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I totally agree to that point that you just made there. You know, I lived overseas also for about 3 years, and the music they listen to is straight out of America. You know, it's like wherever you go, you know, they go to these musicians and bands or whatever. They travel the world. You know, they don't just play their concerts here in the U.S. They go all over the world to countries where they don't even speak the same language, and they play their music and everybody's having their party, you know, riotous living basically. And the influence is super, super strong on not just America, but the entire world. And yeah, I mean, it like you said, it's dark, and it can lead people down. It is leading down people down that road. And if you want to know what the world's going to be like in years to come, just listen to what the music is. Don't listen to it, but yeah. You know, you can just kind of see where the world is going just by what's being accepted. And like you said, you know, the bands today and in recent years, they're just, it's not subliminal anymore. It's all just out there. The Satan worshipers and bands just, it's not a secret anymore. And that's kind of what's scary about what's going on now.
And some of this content, you know, the Bible says that the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. Some of these bands will release music that is, again, it's openly satanic, but they make it sound happy, and it's in this creepy way. It's sickening. That's all I can really say about it. Sean Jolly, are you still there?
I'm here with you, brother. I was thinking of a psalm that I would love, Brother Matt, to see put to music in some aspect. I was reading this the other day in Matthew chapter 12, and I came across a scripture in verse 42 when Jesus Christ quotes Psalm 118, and he says, "Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And he follows it up with that famous quote, or that famous verse in verse 43, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." Now, if we go back to Psalm 118, where that's quoted from, Psalm 118, verse 22, it says, "The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Well, earlier on in that psalm, looking at, for sake of time, just verse 7, it says in the second part, "Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." And here comes what really, I think, ticked off the Pharisees, because they knew that this was part of this scripture. Verse 10, "All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them." So it's really cool when you look at the New Testament and you see what Christ is quoting. If you go back and read everything in its context, he's really just given a big slap upside their head and saying, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will be glad and rejoice in it, because I'm going to destroy you. And that is why I'm going to rejoice in the end, because God is going to win over Satan. Good is going to win over evil. And that is why I rejoice in the Lord, because he is my buckler. He is my shield. He is my song."
Amen.
Amen to that. Yeah. Well, Matt Taylor, anything else you wanted to add?
Well, you know, I think just to kind of like encapsulate everything, you know, when it comes to, okay, well, like, what do we take away from this? What is, you know, if somebody's listening and what do you take away? Well, you know what? Don't be that person that just hears the truth and then walks away and does nothing with it.
That's,
you know,
right.
If you need to make a change in your life, you make that change. You know, the Bible says to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. And if you're just a hearer only, you're not going to receive the blessing of God. You know, you got to actually apply the Bible to your life. You know, if you really are a Baptist, the Bible should be your boss. It should dictate what you do in your life. And it, when it comes to music, it's the same thing. When it comes to soul winning, it's the same thing. When it comes to church attendance, it's the same thing. We need to just humble ourselves and say, you know what, I'm just going to obey the Bible. I'm going to, when I go to church, I'm going to sing the songs, even if I don't feel like it. You know, we go soul winning when we don't feel like it. So why not just go all in and just go to church with all of our might, sing with all of our might, making melody a joyful song unto the Lord. And it, if you just determine in your heart, you know, I'm just going to do this, no matter how I feel, you know, God's going to bless you. And when you sing those songs, and I know it's been preached by Pastor Anderson, Pastor Jimenez, you could have had a terrible day. I've experienced this, you know, I'm sure we all have. Mm-hmm. Terrible day at work, or just stressed out. You get into church, you get to that first song, then you get to that second song. And by the time you end on the last verse of that second song, you're ready, you know, and you're refreshed. You're like, man, this is what it's about. So I would just say, apply these things to your life and actually make the change. And don't be just this spectator on the show, you know, like just trying to get, you know, I don't know why you're here if you're not trying to apply the Bible. So that's just what I have to say on that.
Yeah, the application is so important. Don't just listen to sermons about this topic or a podcast like this and walk away from it with a hardened heart and think, oh, those guys are just weirdos. They don't know what they're talking about. The Bible tells us that we ought to be separated. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. And so that's something we have to understand when it comes to the blessings of God and avoiding his chastening. Hey, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, the Bible says, and we don't want to find ourselves guilty of that. It says in Psalm 37:17, "For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous." We might come away from a discussion like this and think negatively, in the sense that there's just so much smut and there is so much satanic messaging out there. And there's a lot of music and entertainment that we have to avoid as Christians if we don't want to be corrupted like the rest of the world. But I find solace in the fact, and this is what was brought up here just a few moments ago, that God's going to take care of these devils. God's going to take care of these wicked people. And ultimately, God's going to take care of the devil himself when, first of all, he's trapped in hell for 1,000 years. And then after the battle of Gog and Magog, he's thrown into the lake of fire, never to be able to escape again. God will recompense these people for their error one day. But until we're redeemed out of this fleshly body, we have to make sure we don't make provision for the flesh. You heard what my guests were talking about tonight. This worldly music, it's difficult to forget about it. And I struggle with the same thing, where I'll walk into a Walmart or a Kmart, or here in Florida, we have supermarkets called Publix, where I'll walk into Publix and I'll hear a song I used to sing or that I used to listen to regularly. And then all of a sudden, the lyrics come right back to me, and I might even find myself humming along to it. That's the power that it can hold over people, and it takes strength and intestinal fortitude and the will and the passion to say, no, I follow the Word of God now. I want to be a separated, peculiar, Bible-believing Christian. That's exactly what God expects out of his children, and that's how you can succeed as an ambassador for Christ. Sean Jolly, last words here before I wrap it up.
Last words, I would say, find a psalm, find a hymn, something to just make your favorite, learn it, love it. Something that I discovered recently is that I had a desire to learn the bass portion of the Hallelujah chorus from Handel's Messiah. And in going through those lyrics, I found out that there is such great doctrine, even though it's the same thing over and over again, it's repetition. It's repetition with variants, so that way you're always in your conscious mind. But it pairs together two scriptures. It pairs together Revelation chapter 11. I'm going to turn there super quick. Revelation chapter 11, where it says, let's see.
Can never go wrong quoting the word.
Yes, sir. Oh, good night. I can't find it right now.
I want you to quote that. I'm going to fill the dead air while you look for it. I'm going to fill the dead air. I just want to say this, okay? Because people might be skeptical about just the impact of what we're talking about here. The thing is, all of us lived it. It's not like we didn't listen to some of this worldly garbage. It's not like we didn't listen to the music that we are now warning you against. We used to be there. We're out of it now. And we're explaining to you the dangers of going back into it, or the dangers of remaining in that state, especially if you're saved. The Bible says, "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." And make no mistake, this is something God takes seriously. Why do you think he judged the nation of Israel so harshly? Why do you think the southern kingdom of Judah ended up facing 70 years of captivity? It wasn't just because he was trying to even out the fact that they missed all those Sabbaths. It wasn't just about that. It was that they were patterning themselves after the world, when the nation of Israel was supposed to be different. They were supposed to be peculiar. Where we, as members of spiritual Israel, we have that exact same responsibility on our shoulders. And so therefore, we can't take that lightly. Do you really want to feed Katy Perry? Do you want to put food on her table? Britney Spears or whoever, that's probably an outdated pop culture reference, but all these different celebrities who worship the devil. Kanye West, who calls himself God, literally, in his own music. Is that who you want to support? Think about that whenever you feel tempted to backslide. Did you end up finding that scripture?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Time? All right.
You did. Absolutely. So the Hallelujah chorus from Handel's Messiah pairs Revelation 19:6 together with Revelation chapter 11. Revelation 19:6, of course, everybody knows where it says, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now, that's carried throughout the entire chorus, but it pairs that up with Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, where it says, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, the beauty of that is that Handel seemed to understand that Revelation was split at verse 11 into verse 12, so 1 through 11, and then 12 through 22 went together, because we see that he's putting those two scriptures together, saying that, Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So learning to sing that, realizing that those scriptures are jammed together, that he understood it, it's just more peace in my soul to know that we have the victory. And that whenever things are down, whenever we feel in the flesh, if we want to go back and just sing that favorite psalm, that favorite hymn that contains the scripture and the word of God, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, we realize that we have the victory and we have something that we can look forward to.
Amen. Well, I agree 100% with that. I want to thank you both very much for joining me here for this show. Something different than what I've done before, but part of the goal here is to try and give the people something different every week, and I do appreciate that, you know, a different flavor on every episode. That's what I hope to be able to produce, and you guys definitely helped me in that regard. You gave a perspective from people who know a little something about this topic, you know about music, you know about its effects on people, and I think that the fans listening will certainly enjoy this. Folks, if you did, make sure you share it with your friends and family. YouTube.com/BenTheBaptist is the channel if you want to subscribe for more content. It's Brother Sean Jolly and Brother Matt Taylor, the music director from Verity Baptist Church, who were here tonight. Until next time, that's it for the program tonight. I really appreciate you guys tuning in. Thank you so much for the support. As usual, I'll be back again next Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Next Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. That's when this program airs right here on the YouTube channel. Thank you to Heath Hendricks in the chat. We've got Timothy Ryan, Maria YouTube 100. Amanda Lay says, all male rappers are faggots. Interesting take there. NIFB, yeah. Javier Ramos, Winfeather, and others. It's been a pleasure as always. And I'll talk to you. God bless you all. I'll talk to you guys again after a while.